unique lives. This is a show, and I'm on a quest. A quest to find out how people get unstuck and create unique careers, unique lives. Every week I will interview a guest to find their answer. Will you join me? Let's begin. In this episode, I'm talking with Elena Marsh, Leadership Transformation Coach. Elena is special to me because she is a good friend and also my partner in Be Coach Academy, where we train new coaches. I have been wanting to interview her for a long time because she has a wonderful story. And in this conversation, I learned new stories that were even more interesting. I hope you'll enjoy this episode, and I'll talk to you in the end. Maybe for the ones who don't know you, who are going to listen, how would you describe who you are?
I would love to say that probably I'm somebody who's always in search, somebody who always asking the questions and looking for new horizons, but horizons which are not outside of there, but horizons within myself, first of all, in terms of where else I can go to as a human being in my own emergence and in my own development. And what else, what other corners of myself I have not looked at and therefore did not maybe work on them or did not use them as my resources or my talents. So that would probably be one thing. Another thing, I want to believe that I'm somebody who is extremely interested in human nature and understanding the motives, what guides us, what drives us, what stops us, what prevents us from doing things which are meaningful to us, or what gives us the sense of purpose and the sense of fulfillment. And I also believe that I'm someone for whom their deep connections are very important. So I recently clarified it for myself that there are so much like superficial connections going on, the chit chats and the small talks and things about weather and jobs and problems. And I kind of stopped being really interested in such things. I'm really hungry to go again, like deeper, and to talk about things which are more profound. And this again comes together probably with my desire to reach to that horizon, it's not only within myself, but also within another person who I'm connecting with.
That was a fantastic answer to who you are question. So you mentioned about like the layers of who you are, and you went really deep. You told about what you're curious about, what really matters to you. And coming to an upper level, so how do you make what is important to you happen, or what do you do as your work to contribute with what matters?
I would currently define it again into two aspects which come together very neatly, or two parts of my daily engagement. One part is that I'm working as a coach, as a leadership coach. But when I'm talking about leadership, I don't necessarily mean about leading others, but I also mean about leading yourself. We talked about it with you at some point, I remember, and we were exactly defining who the leader is. And for me, the leader is everyone who wants to understand, again, what is important to them, what their values are, what they stay for, what their vision is, what their legacy is, and how can they go there? How can they inspire others, but also get inspired themselves first? Again, for me, the leader, it's just lovely. It's just really fantastic how, you know, the our philosophy of Be Coach Academy, like be coach first, goes also very, very well for me in relation to who the leader is. It's be a leader, which means, again, before you can lead the others and to support the others, you need to have a very clear understanding of who you are and what you stay for and what are your principles and again, the values and beliefs and what is your vision, first of all. So this leadership coaching takes a big part inside my heart. And I call it transformational coaching and transformational leadership coaching. And again, that moving from leadership, which is driven by fear and whether we want to acknowledge it or not. And in the most of the cases, we do not acknowledge it, but we do lead based on the fear. And it's also called like ego-driven leadership. And my focus and my work goes into moving from fear to trust. So how to learn to trust to yourself, how to learn to trust to others, and in the end of the day, how to learn to trust, well, I don't know, you can call it however, to universe, to life, to nature, to trust that everything is happening at the right time and everything which is happening for the good. So this is a transformation to that level of trust when I'm talking about. And the other aspect of my work, or another half of my heart, is devoted to Be Coach Academy. And this is also an absolutely unique and amazing platform which we created for me, where I believe we can touch the lives and hearts of other people so that they can then spread it wider. And this is, you know, the logo of our drop. And I think this is what we do as well. We create those ripples in the water so that then our students and our graduates, they go out there after they finish our program and they make a difference in the lives of other people. And they touch the lives of other people and they bring themselves and their gifts and their talents to the world in a more conscious way.
Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic opportunity for us to have our community and touch many more people than we too can do. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's right.
I was having a conversation last weekend. I met with students from my university, so graduates from my university. It was an alumni event. Mm-hmm. And there I shared what I do, what we do. And they were so surprised that we created our own business. Mm-hmm. So first individual coaching business, but also an academy mm-hmm. in a foreign country, in another language. Mm-hmm. And that we have been doing it for some time now. I never thought about it like a huge, I never reflected it, so that they told me it is something huge and it was inspiring. And about you, how did you start this journey? How did you decide creating your own business? Before we started with Be Coach Academy, you were already a professional coach and were having your own coaching business. Mm. Can you tell me a bit how your life or yourself led yourself to this path?
Mm. Well, it didn't. The decision came not in one day. I think it was a development. It was a journey for me as well, and it was a journey not only connected to switching the like changing the career, but it was more again journey to becoming a coach rather than just learning coaching skills and different coaching techniques. And interesting enough, the journey started before I even came to Germany, when I was still working in Russia, responsible for people development in the big international organization. I was responsible for Russian market. And everything was kind of a very good in my life, really, at that point of time. I was having a fantastic career, friends around, and financially was doing very, very well. So everything, when you look from the outside, looked glossy, except one thing. I was deeply unhappy. I was deeply frustrated and lost, and nothing which I was doing seemed to have a meaning to me. And I couldn't find an answer. I couldn't really understand where it is and where it was going from, or coming from, rather, and going to. Before one day, when one of the training companies, the local Russian companies, called me and invited me as a people development manager. And I come to that event, and I was absolutely blown out by the idea. So they were working on the topics like personal development and personal mastery and raising individual consciousness. And I was completely hooked. So I bought the program, I participated in that program, and it was 3 months program. And after, I remember, after the second month, I came to my hairdresser who was working with me, who was my hairdresser for years and years. And I always had very long hair. And suddenly I came to him with a photograph of a very short haircut. And I showed it to him and I said, this is what I want to have. And he looked at me with very surprised eyes and like, why? Like, what happened? And I said, you know what? The hairstyle is the only have not yet changed in my life. So that program really became a starting point for me to understand again, who am I beyond my parental programming and cultural conditioning? You know, what am I staying for? What is really important to me? What my gifts are, what my talents are, who am I want to be in life, and what gives me meaning, and what is my purpose? And so since then, it was years and years, but I was layer by layer peeling my self-onion, you know, and trying to reach that core. And I think I'm still in this process, by the way, but at some point when I was already in Germany, again, things happened which made me think that probably corporate environment, or at least the corporate environment of the company where I was working at that time, doesn't really resonate with who I realized I am, with those new discoveries of myself, that I need to do something about it. I knew that was absolutely clear to me at that time that I am totally passionate about, again, personal growth and personal leadership, that I'm totally passionate about the way coaching provides in terms of, again, not directing, not pointing out, not suggesting, not advising, not preaching, but rather supporting others by asking them thought-provocative questions and digging deeper and helping them to peel their self-onions. Mm-hmm. So that was something where I just felt such a deep connection with. And I knew that this is what I want to do. And that was clear to me. And when I managed to overcome my fears, moving from a very safe corporate environment, which many people call a comfort zone, but for me it was very uncomfortable to be in that comfort zone, because again, it did not resonate anymore with who I felt I was. And this is when I switched.
Tell me more about the day that you have taken the final step of finding yourself with this is not what I want to do, this is what I'm doing, and I'm doing it now. How did this happen?
I'm not sure I can remember the exact day, but I probably can remember last couple of months before I actually notified my boss back then that I'm going to leave. And I remember that those 2 months again was full of doubts and concerns and fears, because again at that point I was working as an expat in an international company, which meant huge salary, very good package in terms of, you know, the company paid for my apartment, for the insurance, for the phone, for like traveling home and bonuses and all other benefits. And suddenly to say goodbye to it all and to stay living again in a foreign country without quite speaking English, speaking just English and my mother tongue, Russian, and kind of trying to build my own business seemed to be very exciting, but at the same time, very scary thing to do. And this is where the doubts were, this is where concerns were, and whether I can do it or I cannot do it, and what the worst that can happen, etc., etc. And I was coming home every evening after work, being fully again, just unhappy and very dissatisfied with how I spent the day at work, and how would that be different if I were self-employed. And I'm very grateful to my husband at that point of view, who, and to my mom, and both of them did really support me. They, bit by bit, they encouraged me, and they kept saying me that together could happen, that I can totally rely again on their support. Yeah, I don't know. I remember that when I sent the message to my boss, I felt a huge sense of relief when the decision was made. When the decision was made and I sent that note that I'm going to leave, I felt very, very free.
And how did the journey go after that? What were the ups and downs of being free, doing what you cared about, doing your own business?
That was very funny, actually, in the beginning, because I remember, so when I already notified, I still working in the company for several months after my notification was sent. And I remember how I was dreaming, like, all right, I will be self-employed. And which means, I don't know, I wake up in the morning, I'll go to the gym, and then I grab my computer, I will go to the nice cafeteria, and I will be working in the nice cafeteria, and I will be meeting different people, and I will really be enjoying my time and my days, and we'll be spending a lot of time outside, etc. And when I actually became self-employed, I felt such a hunger of doing things. I was waking up in the morning and having breakfast, sometimes not even having breakfast, or grabbing the breakfast with me to my office room. I was locking myself in my office room with my computer day after day after day after day, forgetting sometimes about lunch, remembering about lunch when I already felt that around 5, 6 p.m. I'm kind of half conscious, realizing that, oh gosh, I forgot to eat. And it was very different, of course, from what I was dreaming the self-employment is supposed to be. But there was also a journey to learn to manage your work and life balance when all the borders are not so strict anymore. Mm-hmm. It's not like you go to your office at 9 and you come from your work, I don't know, at 7 or whatsoever. And I realized that for me, I needed to learn that, to set that boundaries. That took me quite a bit, so that I needed to schedule and to use my resources in a more effective way.
Now, how do you do it after having learned the lesson? How do you organize your life for having this balance?
I think I learned one very, very important thing, very, very important thing. And that is that I am my best product. From my condition, from the way how I feel, physically, emotionally, spiritually, it directly depends on how I perform as a coach or as a trainer. If I'm tired, if I'm exhausted, if I'm depressed and fulfilled and happy, I just cannot be effective at my work. It just linked directly. And I realized that, for example, if I'm going for a walk in the morning, it is just as important as my, I don't know, invoicing or as scheduling a meeting with a potential business client. Or any other business activity. It is just as important as any other business activity, my self-care. And it just became so, so clear to me that I learned really to prioritize that.
Was there a big happening that directed you to this lesson?
Yes.
It's a very close question. We don't like this kind of...
Would you like me to give you an open answer?
As you wish, I love any answer.
Let's say I started paying attention to this quite some time ago, but probably it's like, for example, if we are talking particularly about walking, because this is what I recently found as the best activity for myself. Exactly a year ago, I think, I had a conversation with my coach, and the idea of walking Camino, the pilgrimage to Santiago de Compostela in Spain, came to my mind. And so my coach inspired and empowered and everything what coaches do, you know, for me to take this step. And I started training, I started working. So thanks God, I'm living in countryside and there are lots of possibilities for that. So I started practicing, but training, walking bigger distances, like around 10 kilometers a day. I was walking, and during those walks, I realized what a dramatic, significant impact this morning walk make on the way I feel. My mind getting absolutely clear. I felt so energized. I knew perfectly well what am I going to do and how am I going to do this when I come home after the walk. It opened up the creative channel. I felt so capable of, I don't know, doing things and achieving things and doing them in new ways and in exciting ways and inspiring ways. So that was just absolutely fantastic. And I realized that, and I also realized the difference between those days when I walked and those days when, for whatever reason, I didn't. And I understood that I just cannot afford not walking because of that impact which walking provided to me.
And here you mentioned the walk that you had, the big walk, that the daily walks were leading to. So people don't know about that. Would you share what your purpose was, what you did, and how you changed having done the walk?
Well, that's a huge conversation.
Well, let's try to give the overview and direct them to talk to you afterwards.
So the Camino walk is, as I mentioned, it's a pilgrimage. There are different Caminos, but Camino, which I always dreamt to do and which I did in the end, was Camino Francés. So this is this is 800 kilometers stretch between Saint John Pied de Port, or the little town France, across north part of Spain to Santiago de Compostela. And so this is about actually walking that distance, carrying things which you have with you on your shoulders every day, and sleeping in every night in different places, in different hostels, sharing meal with other pilgrims, and pretty much learning and learning and learning so, so much about yourself and about life and about other people on the daily basis. And for me, my reason to go to Camino was, well, there were three reasons. The reason number one was, again, the desire to kind of unreveal one more layer of myself onion, and kind of push myself towards that uncomfortable experiences, physically uncomfortable experiences and situations, and to see how will I respond to them, how will I respond to them psychologically, how will I respond to them physically, and what the learning opportunities those discoveries can provide to me, what I will learn about myself and how I can grow through those experiences. So like learning was one of the motives. And the second motive was, well, for me, working such a way was associated to, you know, like living the life to the fullest. It's like just embracing it. And that was a huge embracement, you know, for me, working that Camino. And the third reason. Again, connecting to the people, and then you, what a brilliant possibilities Camino provide to connect with other people, because people who walk Camino, they're not interested again in those chit chats and small talks. You're very, very quickly go to the core. You know, lots of people who are coming to walking Camino, they come in there to find the answers, or again to learn about themselves, and they tuned to those moments when they can go deep, and therefore most of the conversations are taking place on that deep level, and this is what I was really wanting, to connect to people on that deep level. Mm-hmm. So those were three my core motivations and core reasons of doing that walk. And I must say, they fulfilled themselves so much more than I expected.
How did this journey transform you?
There are so many lessons which I brought with me from Camino, and lessons which I still keep coming to me. Some of them were quite clearly articulated in my mind when I came from Camino, and they were, again, one of the significant transformational learnings, I believe, was that level of trust which I embrace now so, so much more than I used to do in the past. And again, that's coming. I've always had quite a high level of trust in myself, in my own abilities, but probably not that much trust in, again, you can call it however, you can call it universe, you can call it nature or God, or I don't know. That trust, again, that everything what happens, happens at the right moment. And everything what happens, happens for the good. And I probably understood those things before on somehow mental level, which is so very different from actually being able to feel these things so, so deeply inside yourself that they become in your truth, you know, truth from the big T, as one of my big, big friends love to say. And when you leave this truth, when you leave this trust, it does transform you, and it does transform me. this trust that everything will be good. And everything is good. Everything is just as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
So they're one of the most transformational lessons, I think.
And how does this trust now impact your work and your relationship with others?
Well, it grounds me significantly. It grounds me, it calms me down. It relaxes my mind. There are so little place for worry now inside me. And there are no place for, I don't know, anxieties about whatsoever. There are so much more like openness to anything and everything that comes. And the interesting that this feeling that grounded gives me an enormous, again, I always thought that I'm quite a confident person generally, but now comparing my current state with my previous state, I said, oh no, I wasn't. Gosh, I wasn't. And I wasn't that as confident as I thought I was. And now it's just, I don't know, I just don't really see any point in pretending. And I just realize how liberating it is to be just who you are. Yeah.
And the thing, so I have a couple of more things that I am very curious about. I am feeling a bit confused where to start. I want to go a few steps back.
Mm.
I know a bit of your story, how, like, where you were born and what you did before you became this executive in the corporate environment. So you turned around, I believe, your story. You created a complete different path for yourself. What can you tell a bit more to this, your first path, what you have studied, and then how you changed your path to bring you where you are today?
Mm. Sure. I just kind of, as you said, a couple of steps back. So I was born in a tiny, tiny, tiny town in eastern part of Kazakhstan. And when I was 3 years old, my family moved to another little town in the middle of Siberia. And this is where I grew up. So my mom was a single mom who was raising me and my older brother. And so there was a very, very difficult times back then. It was enormous work for my mom to be able in those days to provide me and my brother with everything what we needed. I finished secondary school at the age of 16 or 17, I was very, I don't know, ambitious probably. Again, back then I was dreaming about Moscow, the capital of Russia, was there. This age of my dreams. And I knew that again back then there were no any visible ways for me to go there. We did not have any connections, we did not have any money and whatsoever. And again there was a different piece of journey when I first managed to move from Siberia to the central part of Russia when I began to study in the pedagogical college with their focus on English language. And it was kind of a little step for me, because from Siberia to Moscow was more than 5,000 kilometers. And from Central Russia, where I was studying in a pedagogical college, to Moscow was a bit more than 1,000 kilometers. So I kind of progressed in my mind towards that. But still, there were no any visible opportunities to actually move to Moscow. Till one moment when a friend of mine from Siberia came to Moscow with her boyfriend for New Year Eve. And they invited me to spend the New Year Eve with them in Moscow. Oh my goodness, I was so thrilled to have that opportunity. So I came there, I came to Moscow with them. We celebrated the New Year Eve. And then some people who are listening this story might know, some might not know, that in Russia we celebrate Christmas on the 7th of January. And that's also a public holiday. And there were just 3 working days between Christmas holidays and New Year Eve holidays. And my friends started encouraging me to try to find a job in Moscow. And I thought that's absolutely crazy idea because, I am a teacher who doesn't have any special, this is what I believed at least back then about myself, that I did not have any special gifts, any special talents or any special abilities to be able to find work in Moscow. And I decided to still give it a try just to calm them down because they were they were really pushing me hard. And those 3 working days between New Year Eve and Christmas, because there were no mobile phones, there were no internet back then. So I just bought a bunch of newspapers and I highlighted all possible working opportunities. And we decided that it will probably be something like a receptionist or a secretary in a company. And I will be trying to target those. And those 3 days I spent running across Moscow backwards and forwards, meeting with different people. And none of the meetings I had were anything interesting in terms of 80% of those job offers were what we call a free distribution, which meant they give you a bag of stuff, and then you can sell this stuff wherever you want and however you want. It was difficult for me to imagine myself being a salesperson, so that didn't work for me. The rest was something also totally unacceptable. And then the last day, I was almost pretty much my last opportunity. I was working in a search for an address of a company, and somebody stopped in a car and asked me a question like, do you know how can I go there? And I said, I actually don't know. I am not from Moscow myself. And the person suggested, all right, okay, so what if I give you a lift and we will kind of talk on the way. And he asked me what I'm doing. I said, I'm looking for a job. And he asked me what job. And I said, the secretary or receptionist. And he said, that's actually, I'm working in a small company and we are searching for a receptionist. And I said, really? Okay, that's interesting. And so this way, the interview was scheduled for the next morning, and I had to leave back home in the afternoon. And that appeared to be a small television company. I had an interview, and the guy asked me, so where I can start? And I said, I actually need to go back home because I still have my working engagement there, so I need to pack my things, etc. I said, all right, come back in 2 weeks and start working for us in 2 weeks. And I returned back home and I provided my school, the employer where I was working, with a short notice. And I packed my bag, and it was literally just one bag of some clothes, and that's it. And I returned back to Moscow. And by the interesting thing that by the time I returned back to Moscow, my friends who I spent the New Year Eve with left back home to Siberia. So I did not have anybody to come back to. I did not have a place to live. And even to stay overnight. So the first night I slept on the train station and came to office, to my work next morning with my bag, being a little bit tired and kind of not very tidy, as you can imagine. And some of the colleagues, and they asked me, so how was your journey? When did you arrive? And so I had to admit that, well, I arrived actually yesterday, and this is how the situation is. And they were very, very kind. So they helped me in the first 6 months. I lived with the mother of one of my colleagues in a tiny apartment she had, and I was taking care of her. She was taking care of me, but it was a starting point for my Moscow life. I don't know. Sorry, that was a long story. It was a very long story. Oh, thank you.
It was a fantastic story. I didn't know. And then it was a secretary position there.
That was a secretary position. So I was working as a receptionist first in that little television company. And then I was promoted to being a personal assistant of our general manager. And then I was promoted. Something as we call the project administrator, something like that. So I was coordinating the different projects which we were working on, and then I realized that probably show business is not quite my path for different reasons, and I started looking for other opportunities. The opportunity came from one of my friends who was owning a recruitment agency, an executive search agency in Moscow. And I talked to him and he said, you know, I actually think you will be a great recruiter. And I said, I have no even idea. I don't have even an idea of what it is. And so he explained to me and I said, everything what is about people and talking to people and connecting to people was really interesting to me. So and there I started my career in the recruitment and executive search agency in Russia. And I spent there, I think, 5 years or so. And again, I started there as assistant of manager or of a consultant, just pretty much researching. First, I wasn't interviewing people myself, but then very soon I became a consultant myself, and I became a senior consultant. And after 5 years, I realized that again, I'm just the recruitment is interesting thing, but I'm really interested in everything what goes along with people development and development of their skills, development of their personalities. And I was very lucky finding the job which first combined recruitment and people development. And then gradually, I was growing more in the direction of people development and training and coaching and leadership, working first as a people development manager responsible for Russia. Then was another interesting story when I moved to Kazakhstan and I was working as an HR manager responsible for Central Asia. And again, the people development was the prime agenda there, was the prime focus. And then I moved to Hamburg, to Germany, where I became responsible for Eastern European region first. And then after restructuring of our company, there were some other countries given to me before I actually decided to quit my job and became self-employed.
Wow. This is a fantastic story. I never heard that before. That's amazing. What I heard was like you had a dream, a big dream of moving to the big city of Moscow. Mm. And people played a huge role, I heard.
Yeah.
Like people challenged you to go look for your friends, challenged you to go look for a job. And then you trusted, the trust was important for you, trusted the stranger to have a ride together. And the conversation, again, a person offered you to have a look in that job that they had. And from there, you took it. And then you always took the next challenge or opportunity in the direction that you wanted to develop. And there you also heard, again, an opportunity from another friend who said you would do it great.
Yeah.
I see a lot of like people going for like having the dream, trusting yourself, trusting others. So still this picture that is present in your life had shown pieces of itself in the past story as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm really very thankful to those, my friends who were, I don't know how many years ago already now, almost 20 years ago, really encouraged me to take that step and to move to Moscow. And I think that was also a breaking point in my life when I started learning to trust to myself. And when I started to learn to trust that everything will be okay. Because, you know, I often... I don't share that story often, really.
You don't share it at all. I'm wondering.
No, you're true. But when I do, I trying to give people the perspective what it actually means to move from a small Austrian town to Moscow without having any connections or anybody who can support your life there. And it's like, I don't know, like moving from a village in Texas to Los Angeles, or I don't know, that's a huge gap. And I'm so grateful that they helped me to trust in myself, and that they supported me to again, to trust that I can make it and that everything will work out well. And it did. And it did.
That is a fantastic story. It's very inspiring. I wish you share it more often. Mm. I hope many people will listen to it and will also take the chance to trust themselves and let others know so that they can receive from others. Yeah. I think this is what you also did. And coming to today, you started with describing yourself and what interests you, and you gave a definition of leadership. Mm. And I'm curious about what you want to lead.
I want a brilliant question. Thank you very much for that.
First of all, I want to lead my own life. Again, for me, that means that I'm not drugged by their agendas of other people or different circumstances, but really having my vision and following towards my vision. And I also want to lead, or I can say in this way, lead by empowering and inspiring other people to live their lives consciously. Consciously, again, means understanding, this is what I was talking in the very beginning, what their values are, what is important to them, what their vision is, what their legacy is, what their legacy they want to have. I was reflecting in a community of other pilgrims, what makes Camino such a special place? Why people, after returning back from Camino, want to go back again? And the answer we came up with is that Camino has such a culture which supports people in being their best selves, meaning kind, loving, compassionate, listening, searching, growing. Okay, and if I can say that I want to lead people to their camino, to that place, wherever this place is, you don't need to go to Spain for that, where they can become the best they can become, meaning loving, kind, compassionate, searching, and growing.
What a fantastic ending to the talk of where you came from and where you want to go. That's a very valuable purpose. Thank you very much for following that. And if people want to work with you, go on the journey, the walk with you, how they can reach you?
To walk their camino.
To walk their camino with you.
Yeah. Well, I think that the best way, again, to get connected through LinkedIn or through Facebook, or just go Elena Marsh, or just send me a message on contact@elenamarsh-coaching.com. And I will be very happy to get connected and to have a deep and meaningful discussion and to share the Camino walk with anybody who want to walk that path.
Thank you very much for this conversation. I was again very inspired and I'm happy that I learned a new part of your story. It added so much more depth into knowing you. So now I know you a bit more deeper, and I'm grateful for that. Thank you for sharing your story and sharing your wisdom.
Thank you very much, Michelle, for inviting me for this conversation and for asking a wonderful, thought-provoking questions, which made me to reflect back on my experiences and to remember them all and kind of within myself and for myself to actually celebrate the journey which I've done.
Thank you very much. So I celebrate you.
My guest was Elena Marsh, and I hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you think a friend would benefit from it, please share it with them, because we will grow together, we will change our lives together, and we will change the world together, because we are in this together. As always, you can find the show notes on unique.com. Unique.com, unique ending like Munich. It was a pleasure being with you today. You were on Unique Careers, Unique Lives, and this was Ushul. I'm looking forward to talking to you again in the next episode. Take care.